Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast. As everybody's back from the holiday season, and we're into the college basketball season hot and heavy now for the next 8 weeks. It's Lone Star Conference action wall-to-wall as Midwestern State off to a great start in conference play and played two exciting games this past weekend. Hope you're able to follow the Mustangs at MSUMustangs.com. You'll get a chance to see the Mustangs this week as Midwestern State will be home at D.L. Ligon Coliseum. Be a nice place to come and get warm. Hopefully it'll be a nice place to come and get warm as Western New Mexico visits and Sol State is here on Saturday. But there's been quite a bit that's actually happened since we last did a podcast, but let's just kind of revisit that road trip. And it was a fun road trip. I know things didn't end Sunday the way we had hoped, but going back to the West Texas game, getting that victory over the Buffaloes had to be very rewarding for the team.
No, there's no question. It was one that we had circled on our calendars, knowing that we needed to go on the road and get a quality win. To be a contender in the Lone Star Conference, you have to be able to go win road games. We had an opportunity at the start of the conference play at DBU and came up 2 points short against a ranked opponent. And going on a home court of a ranked opponent, having another crack at it at West Texas, we knew that we probably weren't going to get another opportunity like that for some time. And we had to maximize it. Had a great week of practice leading up to it. And ultimately getting the victory was fantastic for our team.
I was a little surprised in the postgame show when you told me you didn't feel like the team played well for the whole game. I knew you had gotten off to a sluggish start, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But upon further review, do you still feel that way?
I really do. Getting back in, now it's a short turnaround getting ready for these next games. So I only got to watch the film once.
What is the normal? If you had more time, how many times would you watch film?
Normally I'll watch it once, but you stop it, you rewind it, you clip it, you find teaching points and you go over it with individuals or with the team. Well, on the short turnaround, I was able to watch it before the game on Sunday against Eastern New Mexico, but only watch it, not time to kind of clip it, study it. And, normally that's the routine, but with the short turnaround and then not having a day, extra because of the playing on Sunday instead of Saturday, getting ready for Western New Mexico and Sol Ross kind of limited that review. However, we just really left a lot of points out there offensively in the first half, and defensively, I think we're a good defensive team. I think we have a chance to be a really good defensive team, and there just wasn't the consistency that I've come to just demand of this group. Nothing against West Texas there, but we could have done a lot better. They scored 40 points on us in the second half. And a lot of that was just keeping pace with us.
And they shot over 50%.
Yep.
But you shot better than 70% from the field of that second half. I don't remember Midwestern State having a half like that against that kind of opponent.
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt we shot the lights out. And I think I mentioned the post game, but our team is starting to understand that we need to get shots that we love. Not only is it just analytically and statistically better when you go through all of those elements, but getting shots that we love usually go along with floor balance, where we have a safety getting back, we have someone in position to pick up the ball, and it sets up our defense. And those two things need to work in harmony. And as the group's maturing, they're showing glimpses of that. And that second half was a perfect example of what it can look like on the offensive end.
And then we mentioned that you had a slow start at West Texas, and then you had a slow start again on Sunday as Eastern New Mexico came out of the gates flying and took a 16-0 lead and led by 17 at one point. I know you came back and you had the lead at halftime, and I always think basketball is kind of an optical illusion because everybody looks at the end of the game, but I almost think you kind of lost that game early. Would you argue with that or have a different point of view?
Not the least bit. I wouldn't argue at all. West Texas, we started slowly. Eastern New Mexico was an abomination.
It was a different animal.
I'm drawing like really no parallels between the two. It was about as bad of a 6 minute performance as I've seen. I mean, we were down 16-0, as you say, at the 14 minute mark. That's when, I mean, you know, at one point, one of my coaches was like, you know, call a timeout. I'm like, well, I don't know what to say.
I think I heard you tell an official, we're not off to a very good start here.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I said, well, this couldn't have started any worse, could it? And just a little bit tongue in cheek, because it was the truth. I mean, I was looking at just play unfold in front of me, just uncharacteristic things. I mean, the first play of the game, I mean, our two veteran guys that have been through more than anyone else, Pierre Sanders and Mason Gibson, make a just bonehead mistake and allow, you know, their point guard,
Mo Austin,
who ended up, you know, going off in the game. Well, the first possession, he gets to walk in for an and one because those two just blow a coverage. And it just unraveled from there. It was everyone who went in. We didn't have, like, we chart what we call our, we have an attitude chart. We call them attitude because, you know, they're the things like set screen assists, offensive rebound attempts, deflections, you know, a lot of things that don't go on the stat sheet, but we know significantly contribute to winning. We didn't have our first positive attitude chart, anything, until 5 minutes into the game. Like, not one player did something like contest a shot and block out, make a help rotation. I mean, nothing. There was, and so I kind of figured, I mean, Eastern New Mexico is good. They're a good basketball team, but we had literally done nothing positive to that point. So I knew, well, as soon as we start doing anything, we're going to start making some headway and start chipping away. Now, I didn't think we'd close the gap down as fast as we did.
You got it, but to single digits in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, by halftime, you were ahead.
Correct.
So, I mean, I guess there is a positive to take out of the way you came back and how fast you came back.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it just shows our capabilities. But to your point earlier, at that point, what if we would have been up 10-15 at halftime, as opposed to clawing it back? It's a completely different ball game. We're a difficult team to come from behind on. We guard, we make you take difficult shots, and you know we can shoot the basketball. So that was disappointing. I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm not sure what they are. We need to, you know, let that unfold a little bit in practice and workouts this week. But I'm not comfortable or satisfied at all with how we started those last two games. And I'm going to look to make some adjustments to, you know, solve it, because moving forward, that can't be our norm.
What would be some of the options?
Well, I mean, the most obvious is changing the lineup. I mean, that's the first thing, is making sure you have the right combinations playing together, getting the right guys in the game at the right time. You know, we have I told the guys, I mean, we have 12 guys who can play. There's no question. However, it's hard to get more than 8 or 9 consistent minutes in a game. And so the separation on a lot of these members of the team are it's very small, and it's a very competitive group. They bring it every day, and ultimately, I just have to continue exploring that as we, you know, I mean, we've established a team identity, but you know, at the margins, there's still a lot of those rotational issues that need to be figured out and solidified before we really get into the home stretch.
Well, talking about that, I was kind of interested in the way you used Vojin Misilovic over the weekend.
Yeah,
because he played a little bit against West Texas. He played a lot against Eastern New Mexico.
He didn't get in the game against West Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't play at all against West Texas.
Yeah.
And then he played 22 minutes against Eastern New Mexico. So I was just kind of curious what the mindset is there. Is that just matchups or?
No. I mean, honestly, you know, a rotation had been established that had been working for us, you know, been working quite well. And we got into West Texas and we were able to get the victory. And like in that game, when we had to go a little bit deeper in the bench, the first kind of number I called there was Antoine Taylor. And Antoine had a really good game at West Texas. And so I found my rotation and we didn't go anywhere else. Then we get into Eastern New Mexico, and you know, we got through those guys who had been in the rotation, and they weren't you know, producing at all to the level that we needed. And so we get Voyen in the game, you know, we get Antoine in the game, we get Jordan Reed in the game, another guy who hadn't been playing as much, and they gave us a boost. I mean, more than anything, they just went in and started competing and making those positive attitude types of plays that we needed. And then once we kind of got in the groove and scoring a little bit, Voyen was really locked in. And as a result, when we came out of halftime, I knew that he was someone that we could trust to continue playing well for us.
It's funny because when you look at the stat sheet, the numbers aren't going to overwhelm you with what he did at Eastern New Mexico. But as I was watching the game, broadcasting the game, I felt like he was having an impact on what was happening in the game.
That's one of the things that, I mean, I've commented to Voyen before, like in the preseason, it's not just about shooting with him. Like, he's a basketball player. He can pass. He has good feel. He has good instincts on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I was really happy for him that he was ready for that moment, because, you know, moving forward, I don't want him to take a step back. I want him to keep fighting and going out there and doing those intangible things that you're mentioning. You're exactly right. He only had 2 points, but his impact on the game was significant. And, you know, it resulted in team leading plus 16 on the plus minus for the minutes that he was in the game.
So my eyes didn't lie.
No, you were right on, which is, I mean, it's obvious to anyone that watches the game and knows when someone's having that type of impact, you go with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so we, as you came back here to Wichita Falls off that road trip, you're in a much different situation than Bernita's in, but I'm going to kind of ask you the same question. Did you feel like the glass was half empty or half full as you got back after that road trip?
No, the glass is definitely half full. In all honesty, we would have been, had we won that game, comfortably in the top two or three of the region in the metrics that matter for qualifying for the NCAA tournament, which ultimately is the goal,
yeah.
Right? As it stands, we lost that game and we're about 4 or 5. Okay. Like, we don't feel great about how we played on Sunday, and this is where we find ourselves. We're in a great place. We're a game out of first place in the Lone Star Conference. We're coming home for a homestand. We're in a very good place. This is a team that has put itself in position to compete for, you know, an opportunity in March. Like, we're there. We're in the fight. And that's what we're chasing. That's what we're here for. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect along the way. I mean, we're still learning about ourselves, you know, as I'm talking about trying to find the exact right lineups and all that. But do we have the talent to do it? Absolutely. Do we have the character? Absolutely. Do we have the experience? Absolutely. Now, we have to put some things together and still just go through this journey together a little bit more. But I'm really excited about this team, who we have, and you know, what's to come.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of the way I felt about the team. But it was just disappointing not to get that win, because you were right there on the precipice. And I know everybody wants to talk about the end of the game, so let me ask you about the end of the game at Eastern New Mexico. What happened? How did the game slip away?
Well, really, there were two 50-50 calls, I'll put it, right?
Is this on both of Mason's drives?
No, no,
oh, okay.
No. There was one on the offensive end for them. Mo Austin hits a three-pointer. We were up 4, okay? Pierre Sanders was guarding Mo Austin. Pierre was in help. Andre Murillo runs over him on a cut to the basket. It was not a screen attempt. He didn't see Pierre, but he ran Pierre over nonetheless, and Pierre's man gets an open three as a result. It should have been an illegal screen, but it was a goofy, odd play because he wasn't trying to screen. He was just trying to run and didn't see the player a foot shorter than him underneath him and just steamrolled him. Well, so Austin gets a three to cut it to 1, right? In hindsight, I mean, I was upset at the time. Like, I wanted him to have called the illegal screen, you know, but in watching the film afterwards, I can see maybe, okay, whatever the justification, 50-50. If he calls it, sure. He doesn't call it, okay, right? But that's 3 points. There's another one, you know, a couple possessions after that, Mason's drive, and I think that there was an illegal contact at the rim. The player was not legal. He jumped from in the arc. He landed outside the arc. He twisted his hips, and that's a foul 99.9% of the time. And, you know, at the end of a game, you're trying to put pressure on the rim to give yourself an opportunity for a score, give yourself an opportunity for an offensive rebound, but also give yourself an opportunity for the official to blow the whistle, right? Like, those are the types of shots you want at the end of a game and possessions that you want, and didn't go our way. And so you get down there, they make some shots, we make some shots, they make some free throws, we make our free throws, and we're all tied with under 10 seconds left, and a kid makes a sprinting leap and Lena with a couple seconds left over bodies in a contest, and he banks it in. You're like, is there a lot that could have, should have, would have? Sure, absolutely. But at the end of the day, as you mentioned earlier, we shouldn't have been in that situation with that poor start that we had. We should have been up 8-10 protecting a lead late in the game, not in a dogfight back and forth.
You've got two teams coming in, Western New Mexico and Sol Ross, and it's certainly not a state secret. These are two teams that are struggling in the Lone Star Conference. Pretty easy to get fired up to go play the 13th-ranked team in the nation and trying to get a road win at West Texas and be highly motivated. How does the team come with that same attitude against these two teams this weekend?
Well, and this is part of that growth and part of that learning. One of the things, you know, you look up and down our roster, we do not have a lot of players or with experience as kind of front runners or leaders in the conference. Now, we're not the leader. We're right just behind it. But we're right there. And when you're one of those teams, you know that every game is critical in just keeping pace with those around you. We need to go out, play well, do whatever it takes to win these games, because you look around the Lone Star and – I mean, Lubbock's playing, the same schedule we are. But beyond that, you know, you got Eastern and New Mexico and West Texas going to Angelo and Permian, who are two other really good teams.
Right.
So you got four great teams playing there. And then, you know, you look in the other division, they're game, and it's like we have to defend our home floor and win these games that, to be perfectly honest, we're supposed to win. And you can't look over anything or any opponent, because anything can happen in the game of basketball, but we've got to defend our home floor, win these two games, and see what happens around the rest of the conference and in this regional race and Lone Star Conference race that we're in.
What's your biggest concern about Western New Mexico?
Well, biggest concern about Western New Mexico is they're a really streaky team on the offensive end. Defensively, they're solid. I mean, they have, they're athletic, they're strong, they play just really, really hard. But they have struggled to score consistently. But they have some players, specifically they have a freshman that's he's local. He's a Fort Worth kid. I'd be shocked if he doesn't have a good following here that wants to play well in front of them, who can score a little bit. He can certainly heat it up from the perimeter. They have two other guards that are good scorers. They're guys that are, you know, veteran. One's a transfer from Texas A&M International. Then they have another transfer who's a crafty guard. And then they have some size. And so a team like that, you know, you're not surprised if you watch them play and they score 60 points or if they score 80 points. I mean, it's going to be up to us to make it hard for them to score, to be great defensively, and then offensively just stay in character and keep finding shots that we love.
And important, to, as we've been talking about, you want to get off to a good start against a team like that, right? Because
exactly
you don't want
to
you don't want to let those guys hang around.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we need to establish when you're a good basketball team, you go out and you worry about yourself. You establish the terms of the game, how it's going to be played. You don't wait for the other guy to throw the first punch. That's what we were missing, and that's what we need to make sure that we do.
And then we've got Sol Ross. That'll be a little bit of history. It'll be the first time Midwestern State and Sol Ross have played in the Lone Star Conference. I'm curious what you think Sol Ross brings to the LSC.
Well, another football school.
You know what? You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't play football, they probably wouldn't be in the Lone Star Conference. Yeah. And that's just being honest about it.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, we want this to be a complete conference, and that's a huge part of it, is having a, you know, we want more football schools. I think that adds tremendously to what the LSC has to offer its student body, its student athletes. And so, I mean, I say that kind of, you know, jokingly, but at the same time, it is very important for us.
But there's also a benefit to basketball, right?
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Renner and I are good friends, and football doing well helps basketball. Basketball doing well helps football. All the sports doing well, because, you know, you want that competitive spirit amongst your athletes, you know, and in kind of positively, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so to speak, you know, like we want that. And so bringing Sol Ross into the conference, another football school, that's a tremendous benefit. But yeah, it is history. I've only seen them on film. I've never been there. I don't have any connections at all. And so I'm going into this with a fresh set of eyes. I mean, I see what they do, but I think that it's an opportunity for us to, well, you know, as we were just talking about, we need to go out and throw the first punch and be the aggressors and ultimately defend our home floor from start to finish.
Do you think Sol Ross long-term can have success in the LSC?
To be perfectly honest with you, I have no idea. I don't know how they're resourced. I've never seen their campus in person. I see the gym is nice on film,
right.
But a lot of being able to be successful athletically is, you know, your school, academically, the facilities, the support, and, you know, scholarshiping, staffing, all of those things that go into having a program be successful. So too early for me to really offer any opinion on that. Certainly, I hope that they continue to get better, because I think it benefits all of us.
Right, because we want quality wins.
Well, we don't just want quality wins. We want the quality of the LSC to continue growing. I think that we are a fantastic conference, specifically in basketball. I know in a lot of other sports as well, but this is a great basketball conference with really good teams, and I think it just benefits all of us to have strong programs throughout.
Justin, I always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us on these podcasts. We'll see you Thursday night. Hope to see you at D.L. Lincoln Coliseum as well, as Midwestern State hosts Western New Mexico. That's a scheduled 7:30 start after the women's game at 5:30, and then Saturday afternoon a scheduled 4 o'clock start against Sol Ross. The men's team is fun to watch. I would encourage you to come out to D.L. Lincoln Coliseum and tell your friends about the Stain Gang podcast. I'm Pete Stein. So long.